direction of our lives is determined by the decisions that we make. Now, there could be some decisions that people make that have consequences for us, on how we decide to respond to those situations will determine the direction of our lives. We make decisions in response to several things, but dialogues are important to decision making, and you need to watch out to whom you want to have that dialogue with. Sometimes people will let them talk them into doing anything, whether right or wrong. And that is why it's important, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ within the fellowship of his church, to encourage one another to hear the voice of the Lord in guiding us. For it is by an ongoing conversation with the Lord that we can grow in discipleship within his church. For that is what the Lord does in the gospel reading. He engages in a conversation with his disciples as they are on their way to Jerusalem. They make a stop first in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, which is located in what we would know today as the Golan Heights in the Middle East. And he asks them a question. Who do the people say that I am? The disciples had mingled with the crowds that had formed around Jesus because of the miracles. Some thought that he had taught with authority. And so they heard the different opinions. Some say it's John the Baptist who has returned from the dead. Some say it was Elijah who did not die but was taken up in a fiery chariot. And there was a belief that at the end of time, Elijah would return. Some said that Jesus was just one of the prophets. However, Jesus said it is fine to understand the different opinions that people may have of himself, but Jesus then asked his disciples the question, but who do you say that I am? For it is important to answer that question in response to the relationship we have with the Lord Jesus, not after consultation with fickle crowds. It is from what Jesus reveals that we make that response. And Peter says, you are the Christ, or you are the Messiah, you are the Anointed One. And we don't know what Peter meant by that. Some people thought the Anointed One would be like King David, a warrior, would overthrow the Roman Empire. Some people in those days thought that it would be one of the priests who would bring an era of peace and prosperity. There are many different thoughts about what the Anointed One would do, but not what Jesus was going to do. And that is why Jesus told his disciples not to say anything about what Peter had said until they understand what it meant for him to be the Christ, to be the Anointed One who was sent by God the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to heal the wounds of sin and division in humanity, to teach us the authentic way to live as humans. We've heard that phrase, to err is human, to forgive is divine, and so it is. But in the end, the Lord wants us to live in a right relationship with him and in a right relationship with one another. And he says that that can be possible as we listen to his word and follow his example as he applies that word in daily life. And so in engaging in this conversation with his disciples, he says, Peter has gotten it right, but now take the time to understand what it means for me to be the Anointed One. But Peter did not listen to that teaching. For Jesus explained And because he is the anointed one of God, the eternal Son of God who came to share in our humanity, who does the perfect will of the Father because of his love for the Father and his love for us, he's going to come in conflict with the world, which God created to be good, but has been wounded by the original sin of disobedience. And the world threatened Jesus by saying that if you continue to fulfill your purpose in the world, we will attempt to stop it. We'll nail you to the cross. We'll silence you that way. And yet Jesus was not intimidated by that. Jesus was not going to forsake who he is and why he had come into the world. He trusted more in the bond of life and love he shares with the Father. He made a commitment to love us that will not be taken away. And so he says to his disciples, this is what it means for me to be the anointed one. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to bear my cross. I'm going to be crucified on it and die. But 3 days later, I will rise from the dead. Now, it's understandable that the disciples would be upset with the 90% of that message. They couldn't get to the point in which he would rise from the dead because they were upset that he was going to have to be crucified. It's understandable. And not necessarily because that was not their notion of what it meant to be the anointed one. They loved Jesus. They did not want to see Jesus to be hurt. Now, Peter had made a great confession of faith in response to the revelation of Jesus. You are the Christ. But now, Peter ignores what he has just said. And he calls Jesus aside and rebukes Jesus. He has the arrogance to rebuke the Lord. A strong correction of the Lord, as if the Lord needed to be corrected, which he does not. He attempts that correction, and he tells Jesus, that's nonsense. That's not what I mean for you to be the anointed one. And the enemy of our souls, on the journey of faith, wants us to define Jesus on our own terms instead of accepting Jesus as he has chosen to present himself. The love of God in flesh invites us to trust in him in every circumstance. And the enemy of our soul says that when the circumstances are not the way you like it, maybe Jesus didn't say what you thought he said. Or if he said it, it's just too strong, and you're not going to be able to live according to it, so you can just compromise a little bit. And Peter succumbed to that temptation, and that is why Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. That was a strong rebuke. Peter was following the revelation of God when he confessed, you are the Christ, and now he had sinned by accepting the temptation of Satan. Satan wanted to try to prevent Jesus from fulfilling his purpose ever since Jesus was born into the world. And now he was trying to use one of Jesus' disciples, in fact, the chief disciple. And if he got Peter, he got the rest of them. And yet Jesus said, not so. Get behind me, Satan. The posture of discipleship is to walk behind the Lord, not above the Lord. If we attempt to walk ahead of the Lord, we're acting just like Satan. That's why Satan was cast out of heaven. He was rebellious against the Lord God. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now, the good news is that Jesus gave Peter another chance. He could have expelled Peter from the ranks of the disciples. But he gives Peter another chance. He says, Peter, in this conversation which leads to true discipleship, you must think as God thinks, not as human beings do. And so this conversation that the Lord has leads to conversion if we truly listen to him. It leads to conversion. To think from God's perspective. Because Jesus said, if I am going to face a cross, because of my loving obedience to God the Father and my love for you. If you strive to be like me, trusting in the bond of life and love you have with God, then you too will have to bear a cross. What does he say? Whoever wishes to follow me, so that invitation is offered to everyone, and the Lord doesn't do anything that is futile. He says, whoever wishes to come after me, he says, you have the capacity to do it. Must deny himself or herself. And in saying that, Jesus is saying, be who you are, meaning God is at the source, is the source of our lives, and therefore he's at the center of our lives. And we cannot act if God doesn't sustain us throughout our lives. And so we deny that we are in charge of our lives, and we say, God, you are in charge. Must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I've said in the life of conversion that cross can be several things, such as the need for repentance. Thinking as God thinks, not thinking as human beings do. Once again, Jesus was saying, you can't follow the different things that the crowd says that's important. You need to follow what I have revealed. And that's why in talking with each other, we need to talk from that perspective. Well, what does God have to say? What is the right thing to do? So, picking up the cross is that life of conversion. And it's lived moment by moment. When we're faced with temptation, we need to cultivate a habit which Jesus says to us, but who do you say that I am? Because faith cannot just be what we say, but what we do, as Peter discovers. And it cannot be just based on feelings. Peter felt bad that Jesus was going to face the cross, and that is why he had pulled Jesus aside and said, Jesus, you're speaking nonsense. Faith is an act of the will that as I choose, with the help of God's grace at work in my life, to do what God says. And it depends on what God has said, not what my feelings are. Because my feelings may lead me astray. What is what they say? That you need to be careful when you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. You may make some stupid decisions that will not only have an effect in the moment you've done it, but may have long-lasting consequences. And so an act of will. And how can that be built up? By continuing to engage in the habit moment by moment. When we face temptation to hear Jesus say, but who do you say that I am? Because when we sin at the moment of that sin, we're saying, Lord, you're nothing to me. You're not my Lord. I'm in charge. But thanks be to God that if that ever happens, there's another moment in which we can repent. Picking up the cross also entails circumstances. There's illnesses and infirmities we have to deal with. There are decisions that other people have made, and the negative consequences of it can reverberate and affect our lives. We could be grieving, whatever difficulty there may be. And the test is, do we strive to remain faithful? For the enemy of our souls will say, look at those feelings. Wasn't faith supposed to make you feel better? And yes, we would hope that faith does produce a fruitful life. He does promise that, a fulfilling life. But with a joy that transcends times of happiness and times of sadness. Jesus is not saying, come follow me, be miserable until it's time to go to heaven. But he is saying, look at life from the right perspective. And then the cross comes from conflict, because we want to be faithful to God. And it conflicts with what the world deems to be important. And again, Jesus will say at that moment, who do you say that I am? Are you a fan or a follower? Following Jesus when it's convenient, not following Jesus when it's inconvenient. Following Jesus when the world seems, oh yeah, that's a good idea, and not following Jesus when the world says it's a terrible idea, it's nonsense. Carrying the cross means I strive to be faithful to following Jesus when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. It's the age-old temptation of the disciple. We hear those admonitions from St. Paul and St. Peter in the book of Revelation, as well as in the Gospels. Remain steadfast in faith. Persevere in the faith. So just as those Christians before us received that admonition, let us receive that admonition in love from our God. He has more of a desire to be with us for eternity than we do. And that is why he encourages us in that ongoing conversation. You can undergo this conversion. It can happen. Your life can be transformed for the better. But as long as we listen to him, for the Lord has made a commitment. When we follow him, he's there for us. And he's not going to lead us astray. He's right there with us. If he hasn't abandoned us, the power of sin and death, meaning all of humanity, he's not going to abandon us when we deal with difficulties of carrying the cross. He is right there with us. And we allow that to elicit a commitment to the Lord. We prayed in the opening prayer today. We will follow the Lord with our whole heart. And that's only possible as we continue to remember God is wholeheartedly committed to us. That's why we're much obliged to come and to worship when we can at Sunday Holy Mass. We need to continue to hear those words from the Lord. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. I am wholly committed to you. Jesus nourishes us with his very life through word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness, to be able to experience the reward for our commitment and cooperation with his grace. We pray for one another that we may make the decisions that are important in life that shape the direction of our lives. With the Lord, we're called to be with him in the new and eternal Jerusalem. And we cannot have anyone and anything lead us astray.